Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Are you supported and challenged and growing in your job? Or are you struggling to hold on while your mental health is in decline? We'll talk about this and more in this week's podcast, Corporate Culture and Mental Health. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question that you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your questions. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And of course, remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Working parents often have more conversations, more interactions with the people at work than with their families and friends, even their partners. You know, it's important for us to realize that the culture of the work environment is every bit as important to mental health as the home environment is. This week, I'm going to contrast two different clients I've worked with who worked in very different work environments, workplace cultures. Both of these individuals are highly competent professionals. One client, I'll call him Jeff, works on a very supportive team in a large corporation. Now, this client has had very low self-esteem and self-destructive personal habits. The other client worked in what became a very destructive company culture, and she entered that environment with high self-esteem and healthy personal habits, and I'll call her Angela. Here's what happened in both situations. Let's start with Jeff, a very talented, creative guy who grew up in a family of chronic criticism and violence. Now, Jeff didn't feel worthy of love or support and realized very young that to survive, he was going to need a good education and a good job. He figured that if he had those things, he would be relatively safe and secure in life, even though he didn't see himself as particularly talented. He married a woman who pretty much called the shots in their life together, and for the most part, that was okay with him since he didn't know his own needs or wants very well anyway. Tragically, Jeff's wife died after learning that she had late-stage cancer, and very quickly, Jeff was left with two boys, 13 and 14, to raise and support on his own. Now, initially, therapy focused on Jeff's grief and his sense of overwhelm with the responsibilities at home and at work. And over time, it became clear that not only was Jeff dealing with grief and the new challenges he was facing, but with his own sense of personal unworthiness and inadequacy. He knew he needed to work to support himself and the boys, but he didn't feel he could be productive at work and pull his weight. He was having a hard time focusing, and both boys were presenting significant challenges, as you might imagine. So Jeff's supervisor at work was amazing. He told Jeff if he needed to take a medical leave, his position would be there for him when he got back, and that if he wanted to keep working, that he could take all the time he needed for himself and the boys. They reviewed his workload, and his boss relieved him of anything that could be easily delegated out, and they put him on some projects that Jeff had specific skill and interest in, and areas that didn't have urgent timelines. Now, Jeff was in disbelief about his supervisor's support. He thought he'd wake up one day and learn that he'd been let go. He also worried that his boss would get in trouble for supporting him, given that he was as unproductive as he was. or that his boss would get transferred and whomever took his position would fire him. Well, Jeff's supervisor reassured him that he was in great standing with the company, that his name was prominent on several important projects, his reviews were stellar, and he's a good investment for the company. Also, the supervisor was clear that he cared about Jeff at a personal level and that many others in the company did as well, that he was known as someone who would help anyone who needed help and was sought after to be on many teams. Well, therapy helped Jeff to deal with his grief and his parenting, but I was also able to utilize the support he was receiving at work to help him realize who he really is. A wonderful, likable, lovable, talented individual who deserves happiness and success. That Jeff could give up the idea that he just needed to hide out personally and get by. You know, he could adopt the notion that he's competent, capable, and worthy, and has great leadership skills. Given the challenging circumstances Jeff was facing, this work wasn't quick and it wasn't easy. But over time, Jeff blossomed. When the time was right, Jeff's supervisor brought Jeff's main project into organizational focus, where it was recognized as a great company opportunity and was very well resourced. So in this case, Jeff's participation in a healthy organization was key to his opportunity to heal the shame and the trauma he experienced as a child and achieve self-respect and happiness at a level that was previously unavailable to him. Pretty cool, huh? Let's contrast Jeff's experience with Angela's. Now, Angela grew up in a large, healthy family, not perfect by any means, but she and her six siblings were loved and supported. And with that many kids, her parents kept order by having strict routines and expectations that worked out pretty well. Now, Angela was smart, loved learning and school, and participated in school sports and activities when the opportunities arose. Angela had a good attitude towards herself and towards life. She enjoyed and was good at most things she did. She was a good team member, but for the most part, she preferred to have only a few friends. She enjoyed her books, activities, and homework, and she just wasn't a social butterfly. She had adopted the family expectation that if you follow the rules, do your best, then things pretty much work out just fine. Angela was happily married with a 12-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter. She came to see me because she was experiencing anxiety and depression. She reported that she was being irritable at home and was getting negative feedback at work. Some colleagues at work were apparently complaining about her to the head of her department. She didn't even know who it was. She wondered if there was something wrong with her that hadn't shown up previously in her life. Well, after reviewing Angela's life story and seeing it in pretty normal and positive terms, and the healthy elements in her life, her good marriage, friends, regular exercise, we took a look at what was going on at work. Angela is a scientist who worked in the Environmental Health and Safety Department at work and was responsible for knowing best practices for handling all the chemical and biological material her company was experimenting with and developing. She reported to the VP in charge of her department, but interfaced regularly with directors in other departments and supported them in utilizing the necessary protocols. She had done well in her position, and the company had received increasingly good evaluations from regulatory agencies, largely based on her skill and her effort. Well, about 18 months prior to my seeing Angela, a new CEO took the corporate reins, and his approach was far more laissez-faire, and he was far less concerned about what the regulatory agency cared about, and the labs took greater and greater advantage of that lack of oversight. Needless to say, this was very concerning to Angela, who had spent years getting the company to implement and uphold standards that would protect individuals as well as the company. And now, when she went to the directors, they would simply tell her that their methods were plenty safe and she should quit trying to control them. After all, she wasn't their boss. Well, she would try to discuss things from a professional and a scientific point of view, but that just seemed to be interpreted as arrogance. The VP of her department was new to the company, and he began to see Angela as someone who lacked interpersonal and relationship skills and coached her to build more collegial relationships with her interfaces. Well, Angela did try, but the problem was not her relationship skills or her professional skills. The problem was that she was being asked to be responsible for a standard with no organizational support or commitment for her role or the standard. Even the increase in regulatory breaches weren't enough to open the company's eyes. They simply let the legal department negotiate with the agencies, change timelines, get waivers, make and break promises. In the meantime, Angela was being told that she wasn't a good fit for the company. This was so new to Angela's experience that she couldn't see what was going on. She had always operated on the basic principle that if you're responsible, competent, and reasonable, things would work out. But no matter what she did, things were not working out. I needed to help Angela realize that this was not about her competence or her ability to build relationships as evidenced by her personal life and her history with the company prior to the new leadership. Not only were the chemicals in the labs toxic, but the organization had become, for her, a toxic work environment, and there was nothing wrong with her that a new job couldn't cure. Angela had always been a loyal person, and she cared about this company and the many people coming into contact with the substances that could hurt them, if not immediately, down the road. So with sadness, yet a better understanding that sometimes being both good and right isn't enough, Angela decided to move on and was quickly snatched up by a company that was thrilled to have someone with her knowledge and experience. In this case, we have an example of an individual who is well-balanced, a healthy person whose mental health and overall functioning went into decline due to organizational dysfunction. So listeners, there are several important messages we can get from these two cases. Company culture matters. Working in a dysfunctional work environment can profoundly, negatively impact mental health, just the same as living in an abusive personal relationship can. Conversely, working in a healthy, empowering work environment can help and challenge us to learn and grow ourselves. And what's interesting is that healthy organizational culture is good for employees, also good for productivity, and ultimately, the company's bottom line. And finally, your mental health matters. And if you're working in an unhealthy environment, one where expectations are high and support is low, at the very least, realize that it's not you and get personal and professional support. When possible, bring the challenges you're dealing with into the open so that there can be dialogue and the possibility of change. That's such an important part of organizations, that issues can be surfaced so they can be dealt with. And then finally, if that doesn't work out, believe in yourself enough to know that you can move on. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, listeners. Before I sign off, I would like to ask that if you're enjoying the Healthy Family Connections podcast, take a minute and leave a review for me. It will let others know that they too can benefit from tuning in. And remember, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.